Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome to The Process. Week 9 is upon us. Excited to be talking football with you folks. I'm your host, Ralph. This is Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. We're going to continue The Process. This is where we learn, scout, win, and repeat each and every week. We talking football. We talking fantasy football. We talking daily. We talking seasonal. We talking standard format, PPR, half PPR, auction, whatever you got. We talking fantasy football today and every week. Excited to be doing so. If you are a first-time listener, we love a first-time offender. Welcome to the Bad Boys Club. You broke a few rules. Good for you. Being bad is good. It's fun. If you are a repeat offender, we love a hard head. Love a hard head. Anybody that's been listening before, welcome back. Really quickly, for everybody that's new to the show, let's go over where we can all find The Process and keep up with The Process, because there's a couple of different places. www.tigerbombsae.com. Guys, if you go to the website, you would see that there's a page for every podcast that Tiger Bomb has. You click on The Process page, boom, you can listen to the podcast there. You can watch the YouTube video of the podcast there as well. www.tigerbombsae.com. Just click on the Process page. If you are a person who listens to your podcast on the go, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, any of that, got you covered. Just search for Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment. This will pop up. Like and subscribe. You can catch all the podcasts that way. So if you like true crime, NASCAR, baseball, we got you covered. If you are a social media person, Facebook or Twitter, find us the same way, y'all, at The Process, TBSAE. So that's the important stuff. That's how we all keep in touch. Name of the game, winning, and it's selling every week. If we do this, seasonal should get boring. So we turn our attention to the DFS world to lick our chops, if you will, and make extra cash. This is what this is about, y'all. How can we have fun doing what we love, watching football, but also being profitable? Because there's a way to be profitable. No, the daily websites are not a gimmick. They can be had. And so that's our name of our game every week. We've got our usual segments for you guys this week. I feel like we should just go ahead and dive right in to a favorite of a lot of you guys. We'll get to some housekeeping.
Housekeeping, housekeeping, me fluff your pillow, me fix your team, housekeeping.
Continue along with this week's edition of housekeeping. Let's tidy up the house. As we go along each week, the house gets tidier, so we have less to talk about, but we got notes this week. Oh, we got notes this week, so we'll do that. First off, how we did last week. Let's go with DFS first. Got to take your medicine first. Listen, guys. Counting last week as a victory because I know listeners won. I know people listening to The Process, trusted The Process, put in their bets, and they won. I'm getting screenshots of, lineups, 200, 190s, whatever. Personally, my cash game lineup did not cash, but we have to take it as a victory when we had so many plays go right and we had so many people cash in off of that. So, not something that I will be ashamed of because we delivered for people. So what did it happen for me? It happened for you. I'm real happy. That's what this is all about at the end of the day. So from that perspective, definitely a victory. Personally, need to do better this week. The issue with me, if you had a super chalky lineup, then maybe it worked out for you. I did not have a super chalky lineup. You guys know, a lot of times if I feel like a player is a really good hit, but I feel like it's going to be really chalky, I'll put it in a tournament. So there's never a case where in one cash game lineup, I will have put all the mega chalk. Because that's what you needed to have happen to cash these cash games this week. You needed to have the mega chalk, which you could have afforded, but you had to literally have Foreman, Henry, right? Like you had to have these guys all in the same lineup. Williams. You had to have these guys all in the same lineup. You know, but the way to do it was to pay down a quarterback. Now, we did. We paid down for Goff. That was not the issue. But you still couldn't afford stuff like that to do that. So the people who ended up doing that took a big chance. Paying down for guys like Ettlinger and so on and so forth did not work out. We paid down for Willis in the tournament. Also didn't work out. But I think it makes sense to me. If I go back 100 weeks, do that week over and over again, I'm not sure I ever play all that, you know, 3-4 mega chalk plays like that all together. I'm not sure I would ever do it. But really glad people were able to capitalize off of that. Seasonal-wise, we kept it going. You know, you're the thing we say seasonal gets boring. It's not that it gets boring because winning's not boring, but there's less moves to be made because we figured this thing out earlier on, right? And so now we're on the hunt. We're on the prowl. The bigger thing sometimes becomes not to do anything and to not mess it up, right? Seasonal-wise, cruised, which, again, more of a reflection of the preseason rankings and just the stratosphere of how all the teams might be doing, right? Because I'm picking more or less the same players. So say the seasonal went well, that means overall things were good. But let's get into some more important stuff. The one thing I want you guys to think about is players won last week with my info. Hell, you guys are going to win this week with my info. I won't be deterred. I will be right back at DraftKings this week, myself for the victory. And especially when, see, the thing is, like, here's what I'm learning, guys. I'm going to be real with you guys. We're going to have a come to Jesus moment on this podcast right here. On this Friday night that I'm recording, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. Fantasy football analysis people are petty. They listen to each other nonstop and lie about it. There are guys listening to me. You have no business listening to me. I know who you are. You have no business listening to me. So what, I listen to your free episodes. Who cares? I'm listening. I'm judging. I'm listening. I'm judging. I'm thinking of what I said versus what you said. That's a lot different from Stone Cold taking things that I know nobody's mentioned before. So we won't be deterred. We're going to keep following the process. Didn't hear anybody in the stratosphere of fantasy football talk to you all before the Cleveland Browns game about possibilities of having Chubb and Hunt and then picking up Ernest Johnson in case Hunt gets traded. I remember saying it, though. It's on my little Rinky Dink podcast here. Go back and listen to the tape. Roll it back. So when I come back and I listen on Monday or Tuesday, now we're going to get fired up. I listen on Monday or Tuesday, trying to catch in, listen to what you said versus what I said, because I don't listen to your stuff. And I have to hear something like that. That's a big shame. Shame on you. Oh, how would this person know about your stuff? Yeah, when you message somebody on a social media site and they don't get back to you, but you know they had the link and then you start hearing stuff like this, then you can put two and two together. I don't care. Listen all you want to. But you know you know. So I'll just say we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're on the right track is what I'm telling you guys from my perspective. And it gets me fired up to know that, oh, yeah, we could do this. We can hang with the big boys. You're not chasing us off of FanDuel, DraftKings, any of that. We're going to buckle back down, too. NASCAR this week, too. I've been giving away those picks, but if you want them, message me, DM me. I'll get you those NASCAR picks, too. We'll win that money, too. Starting to understand a lot of these commentators, analysts, is petty. They taking a shot in the dark like we are, y'all. So we're going to keep doing what we're doing. Next. Woo, now that I climb off my soapbox. Listen, end of the year, playoff teams, right? So you think Chiefs, you think Eagles, right? You think about these playoff teams. Let's start thinking about right now how these good teams handle things like rest as it relates to running back touches. All this stuff, right? Receiver rep, all this stuff. Because when we're trying to win a championship, some real life teams will be resting up for their chance to win a championship. Doesn't always coincide that they're going to keep playing their guys because you need them. So like we always talk about, let's be prepared by looking ahead before our opponents do. So in the season long, let's look now. We can see some teams obviously heading towards the playoffs, as I just mentioned. Let's start to look at these teams and see how we might get the Madisons, how we might get the Pachecos, because these guys are going to get the run. When it's, you know, week 16, week 17, they're not just going to keep burning Mahomes out there if they've got home field advantage locked up already, right, guys? Like, they're going to do something else. This is the something else. This is how we win. This is how we win. So as your opponents keep building teams that are relevant today, I need you guys to start thinking about how we make our teams relevant next week, the week after that, the following week after that. As it relates to trades, listen, word to the wise, y'all. We're not going to be like some people out there. Come on, make me a trade. I want this guy. Make me an offer. You want him, make me an offer. I don't need anything you have. You make me an offer. You should entice me. People have the wrong idea about trades. This is why mostly I don't think you guys should be doing them, because they simply exist for one person to try to fleece the other person. Rarely are you in a league environment, and I'm in a couple. I'm in one in particular where it is true, but rarely are you in a league environment where you can have even trades, right? Like, this guy's filling his needs. This guy's filling his needs. They see that we can come, like, more of a real-life situation where it's, like, two teams trying to fill their needs. You don't always get that in the fantasy football world, because everybody thinks they're so much smarter than everybody else. And so you've got these poor one-sided attempts at trying to swindle you, and maybe somebody goes for it after enough preaching sometimes. Listen, we're not going to go for that. More so to the point, more specifically to the point, if you need something, big dog, and you coming to me and you want a trade, bring me a trade. Don't come to me and say, I would like this guy, make me an offer. That's not a real thing. We're not going to play like that. From this, we're following the process. We operate from a point of power. We're not groveling to you for a trade we don't need to make. End of story. Fired up this week, y'all, because we in the throes of it. We right in it right now. Once more into the breach. Let's go. Injuries continue to be the MVP of this year. So I'm going to ask you guys right here in housekeeping to think about this as we move forward. Never been more prevalent to have these handcuffs and backups, because everybody's going down. JT's down again this week. Jonathan Taylor. A lot of players have been hurt this year. Mid-game. Ruled out before, but we've seen an abnormal amount of injuries. So let's get savvy to that. Please don't be a Dalvin Cook owner and see Madison out there and not do anything about it, because it doesn't affect you today. That's amateur hour, and that ain't it, bruh. Okay, big tip. Last tip for housekeeping. If you're struggling in seasonal, you need to win these matchups. We've got to be looking at every single thing we can do. You need a waiver pickup. If your opponent's got you worried, if you can't get any guys attached to your opponent's guys, but your opponent's, you know, got you worried, good matchups, go grab the opponent's team's opposition. So what I mean by that is, let's say you're playing Allen this week, Josh Allen, you're worried. Your opponent's fantasy team's going to stomp your team. You got a flex spot. You got a wide receiver spot. Somebody's on the bye. You don't know who to pick up. You're looking at the wire. Who's relevant, Ralph? What are these guys? You're worried about Allen, and you can't get a satellite Buffalo receiver, McKenzie, Davis, whoever. Obviously, Diggs taken. Can't get Knox, right? Don't want to do that. Maybe you've got her, so you don't need Knox. What I'm saying is, then you go to the Jets. Those receivers are out there, right? And so this, we have to get, if you're that worried about him, then get close to him. Get close to him. Get his kicker. Do something. All right, that's our housekeeping for this week, guys. Hopefully that helps you out. Let's play a round of Would You Rather. Right along, to a little bit of Would You Rather for week 9. Let's get it popped up here. See who we would rather. First up, Darnell Mooney or Deion Jackson? So, Jonathan Taylor going to sit, as we were just saying. Deion Jackson's going to get the start. I New England, not necessarily the best opponent if you want to try to run against them. But, I mean, I feel like he's going to get the touches. Lindsey's hanging around. I'll say Deion Jackson, but it's tough because Mooney's in a good spot. They have Claypool now. Claypool can work the inside. He can work the slot. Mooney can work the outside. His A-dot is larger. His average depth of target is closer to 14, which is great. That's where he wants to excel down the field. So now they have Claypool under to help take, divert some attention, because Komet doesn't do that. But it's a good matchup for him. However, I think the whole new relegation of assignments is all very new. And so I'll take Deion Jackson. We've already seen him excel once this year. I think New England is not bad against the run, but they could be had. So I would take Deion if I had to choose between the two, say in a flex in the seasonal. Christian Kirk or Deion Jackson? Now, between these two, I'd take Kirk this week. The Raiders can't stop a nosebleed. And Kirk is prime in the slot. He's prime to roll. So I like that. I think that they're giving up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks presently. So, I mean, let's roll. Lock it in, man. Deion Jackson, a lot of Deion Jackson. That's the question this week, huh? So, all right, we'll keep going with it. Deion Jackson or Joshua Palmer. So, the thing about Palmer is DeAndre Carter's hanging around too, and I think he's going to make a little more splash than people are thinking about. Of course, we've got Gerald Everett as well. And so Palmer probably is heading in more of a chalkier direction than I would like. I'll pick him over Jackson this week, though. I'll pick him over Jackson. But it's close, though. I think the way you play Atlanta with the Chargers, they're going to have to throw it. There's nobody in the secondary for Atlanta. And the wide receivers are pretty banged up, too, for the Chargers. So Palmer's going to get a lot of looks. So we'll say him. Rondale Moore or Deontay Jackson? We picked Rondale Moore last week. We didn't talk about that in the housekeeping segment, but good call there. Worked out. Hanging around, getting the under stuff. Deion Jackson versus Rondale Moore this week, I would say Deion Jackson. I think Rondale Moore maybe takes a backseat this week because I think Hopkins, maybe Connor plays. So now you have two viable backs. But then also Ertz is in a good spot this week too. So it's just a shuffle of order of importance. I just think that he's a little further down the totem pole. So we'll say Jackson. Chris Godwin or Antonio Gibson? Godwin's out there. He's playing football. I mean, but Tampa Bay's not really doing much. The Rams are not the best secondary to attack. Gibson, on the other hand, appears to be one of the – he's like the best running back they have in Washington, even though they don't want to look at it like that. McKissick's got the neck thing. He's going to be out anyway. So it'll be Gibson splitting time with Robinson. Gibson should still get a lot of looks and certainly a lot of the passing game looks as Robinson continues to observe work as just the bruiser in between the tackles. So I'm going to go with Gibson because Brady now has healthier weapons. He's got Julio back this week. He's got Godwin. He's got Evans. He's got Odin coming on at tight end. So who's to say where Godwin falls in the pecking order? Against a tough secondary opponent anyhow. So we'll go Gibson. Minnesota's, stouter on the ground against the run than they are the pass, but they can be had. Devin Duvernay or Eno Benjamin? I'll say Eno Benjamin, even though Connor's coming back. Connor we more liked for the goal line touches, and he hadn't seen that this year. Devin Duvernay's had a spot, though. He's had a defined role, and we're not going to see Lattimore in the secondary for New Orleans. So I would say Devin Duvernay. David Montgomery or Michael Pittman Jr.? Montgomery he seems to be getting limited touches. I will say him, though. Pittman Jr., he's in a better spot technically, but Ken Ettinger getting the ball. He didn't look ready last week. It's another decent spot for Pittman, but I'm not exactly sure. The opposition in the New England secondary just may be a little too tough to make this one pay off. For Pittman. So we'll go with Montgomery. And then Juju Smith-Schuster or Deion Jackson. You know, Juju's a part of the offense. We'll go Juju. I don't see why he couldn't get double-digit points this week. We know Kansas City's going to want to pass the ball. That's their thing, is they want to force your hand, right? And so force you to try to pass to keep up. We know Tennessee wants to run. I do think that Kansas City didn't want to get into that kind of game with them, right? So you got to come blow it out the doors. Juju should be in play. DeAndre Carter versus Tyler Higbee. Two good plays this week. I would say Higbee over Carter for sure. Same offense, order of pecking order, though. This is why I'm so worried about Palmer absolutely 100% paying off. Is he still in a good matchup? Yes. Am I worried enough not to pay him? Play him? Nope. If you need him in seasonal, go for it. DFS, plenty cheap. We could do it in cash, however you want to play it. But Carter's hanging around. I just mean that he's going to have an opportunity as well. And Herbert could get it to him just as easily. But Higbee, I would say, is in a better spot than Carter. I would say Higbee is in an equally as good spot, probably as Palmer. A.J. Dillon or Romeo Doubs this week? I'll say Doubs because I do like Jones. I think the game script that gets Dillon the most involved doesn't exist because the Packers aren't that good. So I would expect Doubs to be more involved as Detroit probably proves more formidable, being that it's at home for them. Leonard Fournette or Christian Kirk? Now this week, I will say Christian Kirk. I like that Fournette's going to get the touches, but Rashad White's coming on, and it's a tough matchup. Tampa Bay probably has to pass more than they do run, and the Rams might be having them try to play keep up, right? And so less Fournette, more Kirk this week, as we talked about the exploitable matchup with the Vegas Raiders. And then the final would I rather, it's going to be Hayden Hurst or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I'll say Hayden Hurst just because, look, Tennessee's stout against the run anyway. Kansas City doesn't want to do a lot of running. I don't see a lot of room is going to be there. I mean, perhaps it could be down the stretch as they are closing the game out, but I don't think Edwards-Helaire would get those touches. It would probably be Pacheco is what I'm thinking. So that's what I'm thinking for Would You Rather for Week 9, guys. Now you know how I would rather. Hopefully that helps you determine how you would rather this week. And now it's time for the process to reload. All right. It's that time of week, guys. We're going to do what we came here to do. Take a look at every game, and we're going to reload. We will start with this past Thursday, Philadelphia 29, Houston 17. The mirror matchup of the World Series, Philadelphia, obviously a better team, came in there and took care of business. In Houston, however which way they wanted to, it was nice to see Goddard get off the ground. But Philly looks viable. I feel like Hurts may be a little dangerous with some of those runs in the end, but, you know, what do I know? Just the poor Papa over here. But, no, they rolled Houston. Pierce looked good. They didn't play terribly, but they were obviously outmatched, that team. They've got some thinking to do. They were without Brandon Cooks. Obviously, he's having issues with the team right now, some personal issues. We'll see if they can remedy that and get him back out there. But another great victory for Philadelphia. Robert Quinn addition to this defense gets some play in, and they'll look to continue to improve. I mean, they're a good defensive unit anyway, but improve with his addition next week moving forward. Reload, L.A. Chargers at Atlanta. The Chargers going to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Listen, the Falcons want to run the football. The Chargers can't stop the run. So that's going to be, you know, very interesting thing to see right there. We know that the Falcons are going to incorporate their backfield or plethora of runners, I should say. And so it's going to be committee by back, you know, backfield by committee. So you have a little bit of Algier. They get Cordell Patterson back from injury. Huntley's hanging out back there too. So they will use these guys. Art Smith is going to use his guys. Arthur Smith is going to use his guys. The coaching has been pretty decent for the Falcons this year. That's what's keeping them hanging around. If you look at top offensive metrics, they're up there. Yards per play, you know, average yards per run. Like, they're up there.
it doesn't look sexy when they're out there doing it, but they're playing to their strengths and they're winning the football games that technically they feel like are toss-ups or that they should win. This is going to be one where they're at home, they're going to be tough. Mariota continues to provide some upside. Rushing for a couple of yards here and there takes some pressure off of this team. He's been doing it liberally. Last week, best passing week in a while for this team. Finally able to get a touchdown to Pitts, but I'm not going to get too invested in that, even though he's in another good spot. We know they don't want to throw it if they don't have to. They want to control things, right? But certainly the run game, I can't play it in DFS just because we don't know who's going to lead that running. If you want to get to Mariota, you can. I don't think I necessarily have to do that this week, but it's there if you want it. I don't, you know, think I have to invest in London or anything like that. On the other side for the Chargers, though, you know, Eckler kind of in play. Atlanta's, you know, not slouches against the run, but Eckler can still get his. The problem with the Chargers is the way to beat Atlanta right now is through the air. A.J. Terrell's their best defender by far in the secondary. He's going to be out in this one. There's sieve everywhere else, and so you would think load it up. However, for the Chargers, no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams. They are going to get Carter, these are the guys that they're going to have to roll with. Gerald Everett's in play. But I know everybody's thinking of Palmer as the, you know, this crush play. But don't forget about DeAndre Carter. He's hanging around in tournaments. I want to take a look at him. But also Gerald Everett. I feel very good about him as the second or first option this week. So it's either going to be Palmer or Gerald Everett. But I think Carter is in the mix too, just with the Atlanta secondary being so bad. And the only real opposition they do provide is against the run. And so Eckler more looking for more tournament upside there because he's going to have to catch passes, if you will, which he would have to do. He's going to have to play receiver because they don't have receivers. But they should be able to go on the road and win this game. Reload. Miami and Chicago. I think this one's going to be tougher for Miami than most people think. One of those and I hate it too. It's like my two favorite teams playing each other. I hate when that happens. But what I believe is going to be the issue here is we all know they've been talking about it in the media. I mean, if you read Pro Football Focus like I do, you know, big thing they're talking about is, you know, Tua underthrowing Hill every week. Tua underthrowing Hill making it work, even coming back to grab it, right, and making it work. The thing about it is I don't know if that's going to work this week because the Bears, I think they have four turnovers in the last five games, four interceptions. So it's like I think that if Tua does underthrow, then this is probably going to be more favorable for the Bears. I think they're going to provide more opposition through the air than what most people are thinking. Path to victory is on the ground. I do think Jeff Wilson is interesting, but the problem is I can't see Mike McDaniels going completely ground game. He hasn't done that at all at any point this year. Now, maybe it's because it's a lack of faith in his, you know, running back weapons. And Jeff Wilson is probably going to be the most sturdy running back that they have now. He's been pretty durable. And so that he comes there via the trade this week, big trade week. I know we didn't talk a lot about it, but some pretty cool pieces moving around there. But, you know, this is one to where I'm really concerned that, you know, Miami's going to give away a possession or two and keep Chicago in the game. Now, Chicago side of things, they're going to run the football. I do think that Khalil Herbert's in play. Montgomery's been capped lately. Maybe he, you know, gets back to dominant share in this game, but it's looking more like Herbert is getting more of the attention. He's obviously producing more. It's like they start the game with Montgomery and transition to Herbert. So we have some interest in him in cash games this week. We need a baseline, a bottom basement to go chase some higher, more expensive players, I should say. Herbert in play. The Chicago run game is in play. I know people are high on Fields. He's been coming on, having a couple of good weeks. You've got Claypool as well now. We know the Miami defense isn't great. The issue, though, is the Chicago offensive line is not good either. So, you know, I don't think, you know, just hoping he's going to set back there and throw, I don't think that's probably a good idea. This is going to be more of a grinder game. I think the Miami defense is probably in play more than people are thinking. This is going to be less. I think this is an under. This is less points than what people are thinking. Darnell Mooney, though, did go 5 for 70 last game. He's gone for 50 yards in five straight games, averaging 4.2 catches and 67.5 yards on six and a half targets a game. So, you know, there's some interest there, but I just don't see them blowing the top off of it. I think that they can do enough to keep it close and play good football. We got to remember Miami's got Chubb now too. I mean, he's a dominant force. He should make some noise in his first game. I know he's, you know, probably not integrated enough to completely take over the game, but he's a big upgrade for this defense. He's a big addition to a defense that I thought could put pressure on Miami or Chicago before that trade. So bringing in Chubb, I think, only helps the case this week. You know, maybe makes things a little bit tougher for Chicago. Maybe, you know, we have to try to get the ball. Fields has to try to get the ball out quicker because I think the offensive line isn't great. The chance he could get hurt if he's sitting back there too far. So Miami's going to win this one, but I think it's going to be tougher than what most people think. And both defenses play a little bit better than we're expecting. The run game for Miami should shine through just a bit here. Not looking at Gesicki too much. I would say of the two receivers, probably Waddle feels safer to me. But again, I just, you know, I don't necessarily see this as a patented Miami blow the top off game. I don't think it sets up that way. Unfortunately, the Bears have been a little bit better on defense than people are thinking, but they'll lose that game. Reload. Carolina and Cincinnati, some key guys sitting in the Cincinnati secondary makes this sort of a easier kind of a task for Carolina, if you will. So PJ Walker showing a willingness to sling it. I like it, man. I got no problems if you want to play with that again. It's a good spot for DJ Moore. It's a good spot for Terrence Marshall. These are the guys coming on. These are the guys that I think are going to make a difference this week. Marshall came on last week, showed that he's the obvious number two. If Chuba Hubbard's going to be out, we get the soft price again on Deontay Foreman. You know, it looked like Hubbard was going to play. So, again, the price is low enough to where this is something interesting we got to go with. Cincinnati, not the best opponent to attack on the ground, but injuries up front and lack of other options in Carolina. For the same reason we played Foreman last week, we should do it again this week, right? They're going to have an opportunity to put points on the board. Cincinnati will do the same. Boyd is in a great spot. I don't mind Higgins' spot, but I think Boyd is in a better spot than Higgins on the inside. I do think that is a nice spot for Mixon as well. But Mixon, they use him more of a run the ball out towards the end of the game. So I think it's like Burrow gets up. It's a great spot for Burrow. I think he gets up, he gets the team up, dishing it around, and then they can run it out with Mixon down the end. But Carolina, for their you know, part, is going to be able to put some points up, which is why I like Burrow, because they won't be able to just kind of like rest on the defense a little bit. I think Carolina scores more than 20 points in this one, thanks to the defensive injuries in Cincinnati, but they'll win that game. Reload. Green Bay going to Detroit. Detroit obviously better with at home. We've been talking about these home road splits recently. They've traded Hockenson away to the Vikings. Brock White dealing with a concussion might not play. That opens up things a little bit for James Mitchell. But either way, I think, you know, for Detroit, the path is on the ground. You'd love to go play Swift. But you know that just like last week, it's going to be Williams getting those goal line touches. So it's kind of like, in DFS world, maybe I play them together because they don't hold enough standalone value, in my opinion, because they refuse to run Swift in the goal line scenario, which maybe is the smartest thing to do because he's been so banged up, you know. But that's the easier way to get him. St. Brown is going to play. I think he can get his, but it is a tougher matchup against the Green Bay secondary. I wouldn't like any of these other guys at all, really, for the most part. So passing there, no pun intended. But Detroit, I think, is going to try to come and play Green Bay better. Green Bay is not a great team. They should theoretically win this game, but I think it's going to be close, right? But for their side, I love Aaron Jones. They have a chance to lead with Jones. Detroit's bad against the run, but they're bad against the pass too. But I think that the strong point for Green Bay right now is the run. It is Aaron Jones. So I like him. I know a lot of people are interested in Dylan this week, but I think for the Dylan scenario, it would have to be that the Packers are up and blowing out the Lions. I don't think they're doing that on the road. They haven't been that good this year. They lost to the Commanders. They are in the game. Yes, they win the game, but they just like keep it competitive though, right? So I don't think we see Dylan. I think it's more Jones as the passer, Jones as the runner. Lazard, questionable if he plays. Really like him to score a touchdown. I know people are on Dobbs this week. I'll fade that unless Lazard doesn't play. Then we'll go Dobbs. But it should be the running game that leads the way for Green Bay, and their defense is going to force Goff to make a mistake. I do think that Goff can be viable because he's at home, though, and it would be more of a tournament play. I stay away myself personally, but it would be more of a tournament play because he's at home and they'll be trailing, hopefully. Again, it's the running game, St. Brown. Everything else is probably a little dicey for a game that I think that Detroit is going to lose. Reload. Vegas at Jacksonville. As we said before in the show, Vegas can't stop anybody from scoring points through the air. They're giving up the most points to a quarterback every week. This is a good spot for Trevor Lawrence, but he's not a great quarterback yet. He's not progressing. We're not seeing him get better each week like we're seeing Fields. So there's limitations there. Etienne, going to see the lion's share of the touches. Probably the easier way to beat Vegas is through the air as opposed to the ground. But that's not to be saying that they can't be had on the ground. I think that more people just attack through the air because it's there. Easier option maybe for some teams. But Jacksonville and Etienne should find some work. I think he's injury prone though, which is why I'm always so hesitant with him. But he's in a good spot. Receiver wise, love Christian Kirk of all the receivers this week. I'll take him. You can gamble on those other guys, but I just want the guy that I think is going to get the most targets. I like him in the slot too. Everything about that works for me. On the other side with Vegas, I'm blanking on the Raiders running back now, but we like him this week. I think that the Raiders are going to have to run the football, and so their run game is definitely in play. It's not Josh Jacobs. Ooh. So we'll play him this week if we have a season. I'll feel great about it if you're throwing him in there. No problems with that at all. I probably stop with just him there. Don't like Waller. He's questionable anyway. Waller's questionable, so he might not play. Receiver wise, Davante Adams, like him to get back on track this week. He should be over the illness. He's been balling out, touchdown or 100 yards every game outside of that. So we'll take it again this week as a tournament play. I would love to say Mac Hollis, but he's kind of banged up, and then you have Renfro coming back too. So I'm not going to pick between the two of them, even though it's very possible one of them goes off. I'll stay more with Jacobs on the ground and then Davante Adams. I'm not going to go with Carr. Like, there's not a lot of upside there. Even at guys in that price range, we can't use it for DFS. We don't need it for cash games, and it's not a lot of upside, so we don't need it for tournaments. It's going to be a tough game for Vegas. They are not the best defense. It's going to feel like a 10 a.m. game for this West Coast team going east. It's going to be a hard football game. I think Jacksonville actually can win this game. Offensively, I like what the Vegas Raiders will be able to put up, but I'm not sure that they have the discipline to go on the road and actually win this one. I think Jacksonville running through Etienne and just the sheer terribleness of the Vegas secondary actually win this football game. Reload. Indianapolis at New England. A little bit of a homecoming for Stephon Gilmore, but New England, the thing about it is we love Jacoby Myers this week because he plays in the slot. Gilmore doesn't really follow into the slot. That's the one place where I think the Colts defense is susceptible. Everything else is probably bad news Bears. So Jacoby Myers, though, sneaky good tournament play. The running backs for New England, you would think, Stevenson's in play, and certainly he's the lead back over Harris now. Problem, though, is New England's banged up on the offensive line, and they're not the best offensive line anyway. They just figured out how to play well as a unit and get that chemistry. I think that's disrupted this week. Also, Shaq Leonard coming back with Indianapolis, so I think that adds to the problems there, which is why I'm kind of out on the run game, but I will take that chance. So Myers, who seems to be the only viable wide receiver who week in and week out is seeing at least six targets. So we'll go there. Don't want the tight end. We'll fade that. Don't need to play with quarterback, whether it's Mac or Zappy, but it's going to be Mac. on the Indy side of things, no JT, no Jonathan Taylor. So we're going to see Deion Jackson, of course. Talked about how he can have himself a steady day on the ground. Should see some Lindsey here and there. Not too worried about it. Deion Jackson should get enough run. Ellinger doesn't provide enough upside for me to be thinking that he can activate these receivers. I mean, Pittman in a good spot, but I'm just not sure. If anything, the tight ends, and if you got to pick one, Mo Alie-Cox, but Indianapolis uses all their tight ends, so who knows? I don't see this one happening. It's in New England on the road. I can't see them pulling this out without Jonathan Taylor and with Ellinger leading the way. Nope, sorry, too much adversity for me. Out. Reload. New England's going to win that one. Okay. Buffalo at the Jets. Now, Jets are going to lose this football game, but they have a decent defense. We still like Allen anyway, though. Tournament upside is there. They should blow the top off the Jets, try to force them to keep up. So, Diggs, if you want to play them, great. I stay away in DFS, but I mean, play them in season will feel great about it. If you want to play them in DFS, do your thing. Knox is in a decent spot, but they're not really looking at him. I think Allen will find a way to either run with his legs or find his guys. He'll probably, you know, goal line looks. Maybe he runs in some touchdowns. Singletary, I think, is in a great spot. They will get ahead. He'll get some run, I think, as they, you know, move ahead in the game. The Jets are a smaller version of this Buffalo team. So defensively, just like Buffalo, they're not bad against the run. They're not bad against the pass. Buffalo's good against the run and good against the pass. Jets are coming along, but not quite. This is why I think Allen will be able to do just enough. Jets aren't going to be able to keep up. Buffalo defense should lead the way. Do I like anything on the Jets side? Nope. Wilson played terrible last week at quarterback, and it's going to show this week. That's why we like the Bills defense. Running back-wise, I don't think that there's enough to exploit against Buffalo, so I just don't like anything the Jets are bringing. This should be a bloodbath. They're not a terrible team, but I don't see how they keep this one close or win this football game at all. Buffalo goes on the road, gets a big win against a divisional foe. Reload. Minnesota at Washington. Not really a revenge game for Kirk Cousins. It's kind of like if they let you go get paid all the $90 million that you wanted to. I don't think you're upset, right? But nonetheless, Minnesota coming to Washington. Washington can't stop anything. The, you know, Minnesota run is definitely in a good spot. But offensive-wise, the passing game is in a great spot, too. So Justin Jefferson definitely in play. Thielen in play. Love that he came back in the game last week. Yet another one of our guys gets injured and goes down, misses time in the game. But he finished, which is great. Still got six catches, 67 yards. We love that. We need that. He's back in play again this week. It's a great matchup for them. I don't really care so much about Hockenson coming over. I'm thinking that this is going to be more of an acquisition for the offensive line to help them block. I'm not concerned about his order, his pecking order. Too many other mouths to feed. He becomes irrelevant offensively, but it's like, why would he get him? For blocking. So maybe bigger packages where they can utilize him to help the offensive line, which again would help Cook. So I like Cook, like Jefferson, like Thielen. Cousins, just not enough upside. Obviously, you know, seasonal, two QB leagues, great. All that great, right? But not a lot of upside outside of that. So I probably won't play him in the DFS world. But certainly they should win this game. On the Washington side of things, Heinicke is proven enough to activate McLaurin. Minnesota doesn't have a great secondary. McLaurin should be fine. Curtis Samuel, also interesting. He's been coming on strong, averaging double-digit fantasy points every week. I think he's also in play. Minnesota, again, can't seem to stop anybody in the secondary. We should see Gibson getting more of the run. McKissick's out with a neck injury. Brian Robinson will continue his usual role, bruiser right through the tackles, but I think more of the dominant of what we need comes from Gibson, catching passes, more of the dynamic outside zone runs maybe. So he's in play. If you need, you can get there, I think, this week for sure. We're going to use him in tournaments ourselves. But Washington, I think, won't have enough firepower to win this game. Minnesota can go on the road and win this one. They can use Cook to run it down to the end. They can use Madison to run it down in the end. But I think that it gets away from Washington and they can't keep up, but they do offensively put up enough points to make their players serviceable in their loss. Reload. Seattle at Arizona. Want some points here. Arizona can't stop anybody in the secondary. Want some points. Can Geno go on the road and do it? He's been really good this year. We have to give him his due. We have to give him his roses right now. Not a lot to complain about. But I am very interested in, can they go on the road against a decent team and pull one out? They need to do it in the division here. Arizona is a different Arizona from the last time they played. They've got DeAndre Hopkins back now, who's catching everything. You saw an amazing catch last week. So he's going to be a problem. He's definitely in play. You don't need me to tell you that. But also, in addition to that, running game not in a bad place. I'd love to say Eno Benjamin, but Connor's coming back. The issue with Connor is we always liked him for the goal line touches. He hasn't been getting in the box this year, even before when he wasn't injured. So his downside was not there. If you want to still roll out Eno, that's great. I won't do it for DFS, but for season long, if you need it, go for it. Not a problem. But as far as the wide receivers goes, I'm just looking at Hopkins. And I'm looking at Ertz. He's in a great spot. Seattle gives it up to the tight end. And so Ertz will just be in a really good spot to produce. And Kyler Murray. Those are the guys. Rondo Moore, we're going to fade. I think he's going to be so popular. And I just a little bit off on him this week. Now, on the Seattle side of things, Walker I like, but I don't think it'll be his game because they'll have to try to keep up. So he gets phased out through the game plan is what I'm thinking. Disley's in a great spot, but they also use Fant, so I can't recommend him. I don't know which one of them will be standing around for the touchdown that I think is there. But both Lockett and Metcalf definitely in play. I like Metcalf more, but Lockett's certainly in play. I know he missed a few last week, but they'll get that figured out. We saw that he's looking for him deep, which is great. Geno's looking for him, which is fantastic. But certainly both of those receivers are in play. And I'm hoping that they, like I said before, have a great effort to keep up in the Arizona desert. I will give it to Arizona. I think it's a different team than Seattle played the last time. I think the addition of Hopkins adds another layer that Seattle's just defense won't be able to deal with. And at home with the crowd on their side, I think the Cardinals will be able to pull this one out. But it'll be Kyler leading the way. We really like him for cash games this week. Reload. Rams at Tampa Bay. Two struggling teams going to try to see if they can both turn it around. LA Rams going on the road. I really feel like they have the edge here. Tampa Bay, you know, decent against the run, but they can be had. The problem with that is the Rams don't have a great offensive line. Problems at running back. Cam Akers back with the team, it looks like, back to practice. But between him and Henderson, just not a lot of offering there. I can't recommend that. We have to sit that until we see that it's actually going to work. So we will take that approach, wait and see. You obviously want to go Cooper Kupp every time the Rams are playing, but he did get that injury at the end of the game last week that we thought was very serious, that the Rams are saying is not serious. We don't want to take a chance. In a DFS year where everybody's been getting hurt every week, I won't invite it, right? We just won't invite it. So outside of that, I'm going to say I do think they can run a little bit more. I can't recommend it still, though, but Higbee for sure. I like Higbee. I'm not looking at the rest of these wide receivers because I'm not sure how much the Rams will have to do because Tampa Bay hasn't been great. If they can slow down Tom in the secondary, then I think it's more of a stalemate game. I do like Leonard Fournette. I do like Julio Jones because you can't guard everybody, and everybody's getting healthy now. So Mike Evans, I probably like him the least, but I think Godwin and I think Julio, these guys can have a great day. Otto, I think, takes a step back because the receiver group is a little bit healthier. But Tampa Bay will probably play as best as they have all year. For the Rams side of things, it's going to show that they don't have enough receiver help. And I'm not sure that the offensive line is good enough to lean on the run. I had initially wanted to pick them, but I don't think we can do it because I wanted to pick them because of their defense. But I think Brady figures this out. They start to right the ship. We'll go Tampa Bay. Reload. In the Sunday night game, we're going to go Tennessee at Kansas City. And look, Kansas City, you know, stout against the run. Nobody's running against them. No one's running against them because you have to pass to keep up. We think that that's going to be the case again. This Tennessee secondary is terrible. Swiss cheese. Kansas City, Mahomes, they're in a great spot. Kelce is game. He's foolproof, right? Like, it doesn't matter who they're playing. You can use him every time. Juju Smith-Schuster definitely in play. MVS should see targets. Mecole Hardman possibly in play as well. Don't like the running room for Kansas City. Don't think that they will need to use it. But also Tennessee is very good against the run. So just if anybody's Pacheco, trying to see what they have in him down the stretch maybe. On the Tennessee offensive side of things, we're going to have to see if Tannehill can play. It's going to be a game time decision. He's hoping to play. But obviously they want to run Henry, but it's like how much can they if the game is getting away from them? If they have to pass, you know, where are we going? I'm not sure with, you know, if it's Malik Willis, if that's going to work. If it's Tannehill, okay, maybe we're looking at the tight end, right? So we started looking at Austin Hooper maybe. But these are not reliable players. I don't think we need to go there. Robert Woods, I probably don't go there because Kansas City is getting better in the secondary. So I think that they'll be able to provide coverage that will be sufficient against Woods. So you have to pick on one of the ancillary receivers, which I don't want to do. Tennessee has no choice but to run the football and try to keep it close that way, run the clock out. I don't think they can win this football game, but I think Derrick Henry is probably the only player that I could recommend on that team. Kansas City rolls. And our final shot, we're going to make it good. It's Baltimore at New Orleans. So Baltimore picking up a big part of their defense from Chicago, Roquan Smith, I think that makes them much more formidable. The defense plays better. Dalton should struggle a little bit more. He won't have the services of Michael Thomas. Jarvis Landry could play. Olave obviously going to play and get the targets. Baltimore secondary is beatable. If Jarvis Landry plays, I think that he could possibly get some nice looks. They will have to throw the ball around. We like Kamara for catching the passes, not for the run against Baltimore. But tight end-wise, I think Talbot's out, so you're looking at maybe Hilson probably, perhaps, I think. I don't want to play with that trickery, though, to be quite honest with you. I would say Olave, though, you should feel great about. If you have to play Jarvis Landry, I wish you wouldn't have to play him just because it would be season. It would be like Monday. It's a last-minute thing. I'd probably sit him because it's Monday if it's me. But if you have to, there's a chance that – because they'll need to play keep-up. I think that, obviously, Lamar is in a great spot. Kenyon Drake, I think, is in a fine spot. Likely probably going to see more reps because Mark Andrews maybe not going. So if that's the case, he could produce again another great game. Duvernay getting the looks on the outside opposite him. DeMarcus Robinson, the former Chief, it looks like I like him a little bit more this week. But there's no Madison. So this opens up things for Lamar if he can get the ball to his receivers. Or Lattimore, I should say. Excuse me, not Madison. There's no Lattimore in the secondary for the Saints this week. So bottom line is Baltimore is going to win this game, win on the road. I think their defense can help lead it. But they haven't been the best defense, right? And so there will be more pressure. They'll have to get the ball out. That will help take pressure off the secondary. That's why Baltimore made that trade. But they will win that football game. All right, guys, that's Reload for this week. That's how I think it's going to shape up. Hopefully that gives you guys a better chance to make some informed decisions about what you need to do to get the victory. And now time for the part of the show where the process goes over our DFS fantasy football picks for the week. We'll go over cash game plays, tournament or GPP plays, and sometimes talk about stacks that you can use to leverage your wins for the week.
Picks. I'm sitting here thinking I'd love to play I might have to revisit and think about Tom Brady this week. I just think that a path to victory might be there through him. I'm playing Fournette, but just full candid for you guys, I'm going to give you my picks right now. They don't have Brady, but maybe we go there, and I'll try to update you guys if I make that change over the weekend. It's Friday now, so we'll see if I get there, but for right now, we'll say I won't. Let's get into it. Week 9, DFS picks, cash game, quarterbacks giving you a high-value player and a low-value player. On the higher end, we're going to play Kyler Murray in the cash game. $7,400, plug it in. It should be his world. They're going to get ahead, and I think he'll be fine when they get ahead. Everything runs through Kyler, and I think it'll be easier for him to pay off. But if you want to pay down, P.J. Walker, I like it. They're going to have to play keep up, and that Cincinnati defense is depleted, so he should be able to get it to his receivers. P.J. Walker in a good spot. Those are the two cash game quarterbacks I'm going with. I'm going with Murray, full candidness, though. We want to pay up this week. Wide receivers, Justin Jefferson, $8,600. Lock it in. It's a solid play. I hope the price scares people off. We shouldn't be scared, though. This is a solid play. Week in and week out, all this guy does is score points or get 100, like score touchdowns and get 100 yards. Like, lock it in. Tyler Boyd, talked about him being in a better spot than Higgins on the inside this week. So $6,300 provides a lot of value for our cash game lineup. Hopefully he goes low owned because people are more worried about Higgins. But somebody's going to need to be there for Burrow, and we think it's Boyd. Metcalf, $6,400. Love it. Love him. Played last week, scored a touchdown, should be healthier this week. It's a great matchup. They got to try to keep up. Love everything about it. The price fits softly in the cash game lineup. McLaurin at $5,900. Heinicke is somehow doing what these other quarterbacks could not do for McLaurin. And the matchup was tougher last week, so at a softer price, I want to take it this week for sure. $5,900, that's very helpful in the cash game scenario. Thielen at $5,600, the warrior. He earned it. Came through last week, played, got hurt, got back out there. $5,600 is a great value. I know I have both him and Jefferson in the cash games, but it's like they should roll over Washington. I think his value is there. They're not looking at the tight end. They're not. It's not. I don't think they're passing to Hockenson, guys. So I'm not worried about that. This is all set up for these two guys and Dalvin Cook. So he's third, still on totem pole, so I like a full game's worth of opportunities for him. And then Palmer from the Chargers, $5,100. If you really need to bottom it out, let's do that and play him just because all these wide receivers for the Chargers are in play. Atlanta can't stop anybody through the secondary. They're much stouter on the ground. So even Eckler as a receiver, we like. Tight ends for cash games. Ertz, $5,100. Seattle is one of the worst teams in the NFL at defending the tight end. He's going to score a touchdown, I think, this week. And then Higbee for cash games, $3,700 for the Rams. If you got to play that for salary savers, feel good about that. If you think about playing Tom Brady, bring it back with Higbee. Running backs for this week, Aaron Jones, cash game, $7,400. Love paying up for that. Offense has to run through him. Detroit is bad against the run, and they're begging to be run on. Everybody's been passing against them. That's great if you can pass. Green Bay's got problems with the passing game right now. Aaron Rodgers is not balling out like the back-to-back MVP candidate. No, it's not that. It's the running game. It's Jones. $7,400. Lock it in. Mixon, $6,500. Great value because Cincinnati, they run a little differently from other teams. It's not that I think that they pepper it in throughout the games, but they want to overwhelm you with Joe, do all the fireworks, and then they run it out with Mixon to end the game. So he sees like 17 touches a game, but they're like towards the end of the game, which is why you may not remember that. Because we may be on to another game by the time he sees it. This is a good week for him. $6,500 brings a nice floor to the cash game that I think most people will think is too expensive. Then Dante Foreman, $6,000. Love that value. Love that value because he was priced when we thought Hubbard was going to play. So, you know, from that standpoint, very affordable. Absolutely. Lock it in. Just nobody else running back there besides him gives him touches. That's the reason we played him last week. Touches, not for results, but it was for touches. And the results were there because of the touches. So we're hoping for the same thing this week. Khalil Herbert. Let's stop ignoring this guy. $5,800. He is the Bears' leading running back. I don't care who gets the first 10 reps of the game. After that, they turn to their dude. And he looks better, more dynamic. We already talked about the fact that I think there's going to be a closer game with Miami this week. And so, running the rock. A little bit more opportunity than people are thinking. I like him way more than Mooney this week. I'm going to lock in Herbert in my cash game lineup and hope for that $100 yard game, I should say, that he's been giving. Tournaments, guys, to end it up here. So this week, paying up for Allen in tournament plays, $8,500. He's top dog every week more often than not when he plays, regardless of opponent. We know what Buffalo wants to do, and they want to do it all game long till they blow you out, Allen. Burrow in the middle, $6,600. He leads the way. Things are soft in the Carolina secondary. They're going to open it up, then run it down to the end of the game. Burrow, $6,600. Geno Smith, $5,800. Swerving a little bit, guys. You know, if you've been following me, you get kind of get a nuance for how I'm picking. Traditionally, I might be putting Geno on the cash game lineup and trying to stuff in more high-end receivers, but I think too many people are going to be on that. We're going to play him in tournaments. We're going to play Kyler in cash, play Geno in tournaments, and you compare Geno with who you want. You get him with Lockett and Metcalf if you want. You can do it how you want to. Bring him back with Hopkins. I don't care. But the point is, he should have a good enough game that $5,800 pays off, and in a tournament, we can get crazy about what we do with that. Wide receivers in tournaments, Adams at $8,100, like I said, should get back on his winning way. I know last week was a dud, but that's just 1 week. Look at the rest of the performances from the rest of the weeks this year. DeAndre Hopkins, $7,900, continues his monster reign right now, locking in. And then Lockett, $6,100, great tournament play. So we'll play Metcalf in cash and then Lockett in the tournaments. And if you want to play them both with Geno in tournaments, that's fine. Do how you want, right? Whatever. Lazard, $6,000. If he plays, love it for tournaments. He's been a target in the end zone for Rodgers repetitively. So if he goes, I'm interested. DJ Moore, $5,800. Soft price and a great matchup, but it's definitely a tournament play. I said I don't play Walker in cash games myself. Maybe I do a tournament lineup where I pair him. Christian Kirk, $5,500, cash game pick. Love it. Again, Raiders bad in the secondary. Should be a lot of opportunity. Already talked about Jacoby Myers and how he should be able to see some opportunities in a slot against Indianapolis as well. $5,400, lock that in. Julio Jones coming back. Can't guard everybody. $5,000, providing a lot of value for Tom Brady against this Rams team. Hard to run against them as well. Passing may be a little bit easier to do. I'm starting to think this is the way, guys. In fact, I should just look at this right now, because I really feel like I've got, like it's got to, I'm just curious about the price of Brady. Let's see what the price is. And then, like I said, we can always tinker if we need to later, guys. $6,000 is the price of Brady. Yeah. We're going to play Brady. I haven't figured out if it's going to be cash game. Maybe it's a cash game play over Walker. So you could play Murray or you could play Brady. If you pay down for Brady, you could possibly fit Jefferson in. So maybe we do that. Yeah. Glad we talked it out, guys. okay. So DeAndre Carter, $4,300. Another tournament receiver that we want to get invested in. Again, I don't think anybody's thinking about him. Everybody's thinking Palmer. Carter's in a great spot, too. Terrence Marshall, second receiver now in Carolina. Walker was able to activate a couple of guys last week. $3,900 is a soft tournament price to help us fit in other things. And then Gerald Everett for tight end, $4,800. Great value. I like him more than Carter this week. And so, as we spoke about before, Tanyan, $3,800, tournament play. Nice tournament play there. Rodgers has got to throw it to somebody. And then Evan Ingram, been steady Eddie every week, right? So $3,300, we like him. As we know, Oakland, or the Raiders rather, Vegas Raiders, not great against the pass. Disley, $3,000 if you need it. Just want to gamble. I don't think I'd get that low. Allie Cox, $2,800 if you need it. Maybe these guys are standing around to catch a touchdown, but they're not going to run up and down the field. You're literally hoping for one catch, 3 yards, one touchdown. That's what you would get for paying down for those guys. Running back, Eckler, $8,800. I think it's a nice tournament price. It's going to scare a lot of people off, and they're going to need his passing game upside. Fournette at $6,600. If I'm playing Brady, I might fade Fournette. I think I was looking at the wrong side of that. So just word to the wise there. Swift, though, and Williams, I like them both, $6,400 and $6,000, but I play them together because Williams gets the touchdown, Swift gets the production, and if Swift goes down, then you still got Williams. So I would play these two, but I'm going to play them together. Singletary, $5,700 for Buffalo. I love it because they're going to get ahead, and I think he has an opportunity to get some reps once they do. Gibson, $5,500. Spoke about him a couple of times today and why he's in a pretty good spot as well. For the Commanders. And then Jeff Wilson Jr., $4,900. We'll take a stab right there. That's pretty fair price for a guy who's familiar with Mike Daniels' system from the 49ers. Comes over, he's healthy, knows the system. Should be able to plug right in. And if he does that, we just underpaid for a very, very integral part of what could be the run game that beats Chicago. I think that's the path to victory. As I said, Tua probably more problematic through the air because of the Bears secondary, but I can't see them slowing down though. Miami hasn't slowed down at all, even when they had Teddy B. And then defense wise, I forgot the defenses when I went over the cash games too. But for cash, I'm gonna try to stick to the Bills at $4,300, the Colts at $2,700, and then for tournaments, the Fins $3,800, and then the Bears at $2,500. We'll take a chance there. But guys, I want to add New England as well. So let's check on that too real quick. As we're sitting here talking through the show and getting to that New England and Indianapolis game, that's when I started thinking like, well, why aren't we playing their defense if I feel so little coming from this? So $4,100, yeah, that's fine. You could play them for cash or tournaments, whatever. But we're going to add them and we're going to add Brady, okay? Guys, that's what I got for you this week. Hopefully, this is as good as it was last week. We'll meet right back here next week and talk about how we did. You know how to find me if you need me, though. Until next time, peace. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment.